The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, young people. Appreciate that. Continue to pray for the dorms, if you will. Hey, Brother Lofton, get that paper ready for the ushers to pass out. You'll see a schedule for the Baptist Leadership Conference. It's back there. And we're going to pass that out there to everybody. And we'll give it to the adults, Brother Loftons, who we're going to give it to. And so, fellas, help him out with that. And give it to college age and up. It kind of tells you what's happening and about the classes in case you want to register to be able to come to the conference during the day. It's $25 for the day sessions, nothing at night. We never charge for church. That's kind of crazy. But still, for the day sessions, we have to because we're passing out a lot of literature, a lot of promotions being given out, stuff like that. Go ahead and pass them out, fellas, and make sure the adults and up, not teenagers, please, just the adults and up. And this kind of tells you the subject matter that is going to be taught and when it's going to be taught, and that way you have a good idea as to the classes. I know one pastor, I was calling a couple pastor friends today. I called about 9 pastor friends today and just talking to them about the Baptist Leadership Conference. And one of the pastors said this, appreciate that information you sent me in the mail. He said, I've already picked out the subjects I want to go to because I know they'll help me. And so I'm glad about that, to be able to build friendships with pastors that's in the area. Some pastors flying in from Florida, and I think we got a couple coming from Kansas, or at least one coming from Kansas, and I don't know, different places. Alabama, I think, is going to be here, and some other places. And so I'm glad that we have pastors that trust us and that come here to be able to receive encouragement and help, and that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I want to speak to you tonight on which yardstick should I use? Which yardstick should I use? My grandmother did this, and I don't know if it's just grandparents that do this or not really sure, but I know my grandmother did this. My grandmother, every time that my birthday came around, she would have me stand against the wall with my back against the wall, and she would mark over top of my head, a mark to show how much I have grown since the last year. Now, I don't know if that's just a grandmother type of thing. I don't know if that's written in the grandmother's bylaws of activities that needs to be performed by every grandmother in the continental U.S. or not, but I know she used to do that. I'm glad that she stopped there and did not have us to get on the scales and continue to do that until age 55, because right now I'd be a little bit discouraged, okay? But which yardstick should I use? You know, measuring rods are used for different things. Ladies, many times, will use the measuring tapes as they go ahead and they cut out a pattern to get ready to sew. My dad oftentimes would use a measuring tape to be able to measure different lengths of wire that he would cut. I've seen carpenters and I've seen plumbers do the very same thing, where they measure the length of something to get something accurate so that it would fit in its proper place. Now, I believe that you and I as believers ought to be desirous of being properly measured so that we can fit in a proper place. And that proper place is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, as I read it again for reiteration's sake, it says, till we all come together, till we all come into the unity of the faith, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the Bible says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man. It says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So how is it tonight that you and I should see how we measure? I'm going to get Brother Jonathan to pass out the yardsticks to at least a couple of the guys here. I think I have 4. You can choose what 4 gets them. But I want to speak to you tonight on which yardstick should you use. Which yardstick should I use? Now, I want you to think about different yardsticks that we use. All right. Statement number 1. Sometimes there's the yardstick of what I think. What I think. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and in verse 8, the Bible says, ye shall not do after all the things that we do this day, for every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Now, here was a generation that did what they thought was right. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So some people think this. They think, well, it seems right to me, so that's what I'll do. Some people will go this route. They say, well, it makes sense to me, so that's what I'll do. Others will say, well, it feels right to me, that's what I will do. Well, it sounds good to me, and so that's what I'm going to do. And some people use the measuring of the yardstick by measuring what feels right to them, what they think is right. You know, the Apostle Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So we have to be careful that we do not measure according to what we think. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so when you start trusting in what you think or what your logic is or how you feel or what your understanding is, it could be very dangerous. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It says, and be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So how is it that we are supposed to be able to operate? We're not supposed to operate, well, this is what I think is right, and this is the direction that I feel I should go. Well, this is the belief that I feel I should have. There needs to be a greater measuring stick, if you will, or a measuring rod than that. You know, some people choose their direction because of the way they feel. They choose their appearance because of the way they think. They choose their friends because of the way they believe. They choose their vocation because of the feelings or their thoughts or their morals or their standards or their convictions or their decisions where they say, I feel, I think, I believe. And finally, they wind up messing up. You know, this is what I think about the kind of music, and so I'm going to listen to that type. This is what I feel is right about the way I dress or the type of the friends I have or the things that I watch or the social drinking that I want to participate in. Or this is what I think about gambling, so it doesn't matter. Or this is what I think about fornication, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about adultery, and so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about divorce, and so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about smoking, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about abortion, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about tithing, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about soul winning, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about faithful church attendance, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about holiness, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about bad marriages, so it doesn't matter. This is what I think about wayward children, so it doesn't matter. And you find out that people leave the church and people get upset about the will of God because they have a framework of thinking that is within their own reach and only within their own reach, and they don't go outside of that reach. I know many Christians that's gotten discouraged and left church because of what they think. I know many Christians that have broken up with good friends because of what they think. I know many Christians that have gotten out of the will of God because of what they think. I know many Christians that are living a terribly miserable lives tonight because of what they think. Yet the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15, the Bible says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, it would be better for a teenager sitting here tonight to know that your dad, saved, lost, might have some insight that you don't have simply because of the experience of time that he has lived on planet Earth. You know, it might be wise tonight to understand that God will allow people to come into your life that will possess different grades of wisdom that you might not have in your life. You know, you say, well, my dad is old. Well, my mom is old. Well, okay, you're going to be there one day. But now wait, let's not be too hard on an old dad or on an old mom. It might be that they have spent more time walking with God than you have. It might mean that God has given them more insight than you possess. It might mean that maybe you need to look to them and not go about to this is what I think. Now, wait a minute. There's another measuring rod tonight. We'll use these fellows in just a little bit. But now there's another measuring rod tonight, or there's another yardstick tonight that people use, not just what I think, but what others do. What others do. Now, that's a prevalent philosophy that's within our society. Well, you know, I'm going to do it because my neighbor does it. Well, I'm going to do it because the guy that is the best Christian in my eyes on the street corner does it. Well, I'm going to do it because so-and-so says it's okay, and I think that they're an okay person. Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, says we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. So here's a person walking around, they're patting themselves on the back. You know, I mean, I think I know better. I think, you know, let me tell you what you need to do, all right? Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. And the Bible says don't compare yourself, especially don't compare yourself with people that's walking around thinking that they're higher than somebody else and they're commending themselves. The Bible says, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Come on. All right, think about some comparison. Person says, well, I'm better looking than a pig. That doesn't mean you're pretty. Another person says, well, I'm richer than a chicken. That doesn't mean you're wealthy. Somebody else says, well, I'm smarter than a sheep. Doesn't mean you're educated. Somebody else comes along and says, well, I'm taller than a mouse. Doesn't mean you're tall. Somebody else comes along, they say, well, I'm stronger than a butterfly. Doesn't mean that you're mighty. Somebody else comes along and says, I'm faster than a turtle. That doesn't mean that you're speedy. See, some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Just because you had one less divorce than the neighbor that's on the street doesn't mean that you have a good marriage. Yeah, just because you go to a Baptist church doesn't mean that you're a good Christian. Just because the police has not visited your house this past week doesn't mean that you have a happy home. Just because of the fact that you wear something that's more modest than what they sell in the store doesn't mean you're modest. Just because a person says, well, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do what my coworkers do, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're right with God. You know, just because a person says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take and I'm going to listen to what others listen to or take the entertainment that others have, or I'm going to have the friends that others have, or I'm going to use the words that others use, or I'm going to have the activity that others use, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the wisest thing to do. Can I tell you that we have a world that is bent on going the wrong direction? Here in the continental U.S., you will find more things prevalent today that is anti-God, anti-Christ. And by the way, it is setting up for that which is the revealing of the Antichrist. We're laying the foundation for that today. Never used to be that people would get mad if somebody brought a Bible to school, but now they do. Never used to be that people would get upset if somebody prayed in school. Now they do. They say the only time you can pray in a public school is if all of a sudden you're attacked. Then you have our permission to pray. Now, can I tell you, listen, never used to be all these isms and schisms out there, but the problem is that here's what we do. We measure things by, well, this is what I think. We measure things by, well, this is what others do. Well, just because somebody does it does not necessarily mean that it's right. All right? And so there's the measuring. Oh, here's another one. What authority requires? Some people measure things by what authority requires. Now, we're getting closer to what the truth is. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, servants, it says, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness in your heart as unto the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 18, servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the froward. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 13, submit yourselves, it says, unto every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be unto the king as supreme, or it says unto governors, it says unto them that are sent to punish the evildoers, for it says the praise of them that do well. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye shall put silence the ignorance of foolish men. All right, so wait a minute. What is that talking about? That is talking about that there comes a time when the children need to understand that if your parents tell you to do something, unless it is sinful, it's right. When the student is instructed by the teacher, then just do it. When the employees is instructed by the boss, hey, do it. When the wives are instructed by the husband, do it. When the citizens are instructed by the government, then do it. When the church members are instructed by the pastor, then do it. When the team players are instructed by the coach, then do it. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there has to come a time in our life when we realize that there is some requirements when it comes to that which, and by the way, everybody has authority. Did you know that? Go down to work for McDonald's, if you will, and you go to McDonald's and say, I don't want to wear the McDonald's, I guess they still wear the shirts or the vest or whatever. I don't want to wear the McDonald's shirt. I want to wear the Burger King shirt. So if I'm going to work for you, Bubba, here's what I'm going to do. I'm wearing my Burger King shirt because, after all, I don't like the food at McDonald's. Now, I want to work here, but I don't want to eat your food. And I don't want to represent you. I doubt if they hire you. If they hire you, I doubt if you stay around very long. You see, I'm saying that everybody, somebody says, well, I don't like the rules. You've heard this one, right? I don't like the rules. My parents have rules. I don't like the rules. I hate the rules. So I'm going to join the military. To me, I think this is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, you're going to have rules. And by the way, listen to me, you teenagers that don't like the household rules that your mama has and your daddy has, I got news for you. When you become a parent, you're going to have household rules. Now, you may not have the same, but I guarantee you're going to have some general principles that line up straight away. You're going to tell your kids, pick up after yourself. Now, you don't like your parents telling you that, but you're going to tell your kids. You're going to tell your kids, make your own bed. You're going to tell them. You're going to tell them, fold your own clothes. You're going to tell them, iron your own clothes. You're going to tell them, in some cases, fix your own breakfast. Just don't cook and burn down the house. Hey, you're going to tell your kids, hey, as long as you're a boy in my house, guess what? God gave you to me as a blessing. You get the privilege every week of mowing the lawn. Yeah, you're going to have some rules. You know, it might be helping your daughter to be able to cook because you want to help the future husband to be able to live without food poisoning. So maybe once a week, here's what you do. You say, honey, it's your turn. Once a week, you get to cook. God bless you. You get to do the shopping. You get to prepare the menu. You get to cook. Now, can I tell you, every husband in here thanks God for a wife that can cook. Potatoes are not right coming out of a can. Well, I'm going to fix potatoes and get the powder, pour the water in. No! Man, there's something sinful about that somewhere. Learn to cook. Learn to cook. By the way, before you get on the women too much, hey, men, learn to work. Don't be a lazy bum. You say, well, I thought that we were born in America and we're supposed to have welfare. No, you're supposed to work. Hey, by the sweat of your brow, get out there and work. But she'll respect you more. Oh, but you know, I think the government. No, no, government. Forget the government. It's supposed to be you, Bubba. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, hey, listen, you know, authority can teach you some things. You ever see these guys walking around? They got britches down to here. Brother, obey your wife. Amen. Man, it's really a bothersome thing. You know, come on, I owned businesses before. I had people that worked for me. And can I tell you, man, the guys that don't have the character to pull their britches up, you think I'd hire them? There's no way under heaven. Come on. Hey, are you listening to me? I'm saying this, that authority sometimes will tell us things that we don't want to hear. I tell these guys, hey, you want a paycheck? Show up for work. And they do. That's not because I tell them, it's because they love the Lord. Well, and they like the paycheck, but they love the Lord. You know, we have people that's on staff, and we say, look, you got to teach this college class at this time. It's a 7 o'clock class, and you've got to teach doctrines. Who wants to learn doctrines at 7 o'clock? But you got to teach or Bible history, or you've got to teach American history, or whatever the case says. We have an academy here, and we have close to 60 students that's in the academy. Can I tell you, the teachers have to show up. They have to be prepared. They have to be able to be educators and be well-vested and very much into what they're teaching to be able to take the skill levels of those children to the level that they need to be. You know, we help out many, many churches around the area and many, many churches around the nation. Can I tell you, we need to be on top side and be able to help them and give counsel and direction and be able to try to undergird them and to be able to try to be their friends. And so can I say tonight that sometimes authority requires some things. Statement number next, not only authority requires, but also the Bible commands. The Bible commands. Now watch this, Brother Craig, bring yours. And so here Brother Craig is, and Brother Craig says this. Brother Craig said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I think I should do. So he goes around, he measures everything with his, I mean, he's just measuring everything. He says, well, let me see, that doesn't match up, so I don't think that pulpit is right. And so, that doesn't match up, so I don't think that the mic is right. And that person doesn't match up, so I don't think he is right. And those mics, they don't match up, and I don't think that is right. And I tell you, he goes around, and he's just, and by the way, when you're doing things according to the way you think, now stay with me now, that is one of the most critical people you'll ever meet in your life. Because they're always passing a judgment. And by the way, their judgment always changes. Because opinions go like this. You know, self-logic goes like this. Well, today I feel this is right. Tomorrow I don't feel like that is right. Well, today I believe it, but tomorrow I believe that. And they change. That's why we say the best thing you could ever do as a parent that's trying to raise children is to be consistent. Be consistent. Don't be up here one day and down here another day. Don't be in this way and then out this way. But I have some Bible principles that guide your home whether you feel like it or not. You know, if you want to hold your job, you have to get up and you have to go to work. He measures himself and he says, okay, today I don't feel good. So I'm going to call into work sick. And by the way, some people, I wish that we would treat God with the same respect, the same dignity, and with the same genuine care that we treat our public workplaces. You know, here's the person that says, well, I told about the two guys that went fishing, and one guy said to the other guys, I said this morning, the two guys going fishing. The one guy said, well, I feel bad about missing church and going fishing. I just really feel bad about that. The other guy said, well, you know, I kind of feel bad about that too. But he said, I'm still going to fish. He said, but, you know, if I was home, I probably wouldn't go to church anyway. He said, because my wife is sick. You'll get that come Thursday, I guess. I don't know. But we make up reasons as to why we do what we do and why we don't do what we... I ran track and field for years when I was in high school. And when I ran track and field, there was those guys that once the pain started to come, they quit. They didn't push on. They just quit. They just laid it down. Now, can I tell you, it is painful to be a Christian parent. It is painful to live in an ungodly society. It is painful to take and to do right when it seems like that everybody else in certain areas of life wants and has that which is the leaning of doing wrong. But what you've got to be careful about is you do not measure things according to your thought process. You know, the humanistic thinking of, well, I think, and I'm going to set myself up as the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to set myself up as God, and I know better. And listen, there's nobody that knows better than God. All right? And so be seated, if you will. And then here comes the guy along, and all he's doing is, he's going to make his decisions based on what others do. I mean, it's all about others. You know, and so he's going to go out in the congregation. He's going to find somebody that just kind of measures up to him. And he's a great judger of others. You know, he's going to walk down the hallway and he's going to judge this guy. And he's going to say, well, you know, he doesn't quite fit. And he's going to judge somebody else and he doesn't quite fit. And he's going to judge somebody else. And, well, you know, he's closer to fitting because he's a relative. You know, and so, you know, and he's just going to keep going and keep judging and keep judging and keep judging. And by the way, here is the fallacy of that. And when you find somebody that's more spiritual than you are, then you won't have an allegiance to walk with them. But you always. You always like to find people that's less spiritual because you feel good. You feel good. Now, can I tell you, and I'm trying to help you a little bit, understand this, that just because you found one, good for you. You can come back up and leave him there, okay? But what we do is we measure ourselves by others. We compare ourselves by others. Well, I could sing a song better than they could. Well, I could deliver a message better than he could. Well, I could teach a Sunday school class better than they could. Well, I could run a bus route better than that. Why don't they ask me to cook? Why don't they get these other people to cook? If they only knew my skills, I could cook. Why don't they ask me to be? I could clean a toilet better than somebody else. Look, we need toilet cleaners. Volunteer. You know, hey, I could do this. Hey, look, can I tell you something? All you have to do is dive in, and it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you can do it better than somebody else. Do you realize that God is looking for servants? Yeah. I was so proud of our bus workers, those that could help, and I realized that a lot of our college young men especially and some of our girls was moving the girls' dorms because we had to move them given to the time that these dorms are being done over here, and I understand that. But then there was others that was out there on top of buses, and they were washing the buses yesterday. Hey, listen, that's neat. And I watched them. I think they got more wet than the buses, but that's neat. And they had fun washing the buses. Did you know that you can have fun serving Jesus Christ? You know, you can come. Look, you don't have to come to church like a sourpuss. You didn't come to church all grumpy. You know, man, I tell you what, they would be glad I showed up. You know, I mean, after all, if I hadn't showed up, he wouldn't have had anybody in that pew. Yeah, but the reason you're in that pew is because nobody else is in that pew. Okay, never mind. What others do, what we think, what authority requires. What about what the Bible says? What the Bible says. Here's what it says. Therefore, it says over in Leviticus chapter 22 and in verse 31, therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them, I am the Lord. Well, now we're getting down to what does the Bible say? See, there has to be a final authority. Either we believe the Bible or we don't. Either the Bible is true or it's a lie. Either we have the right book or we've got the wrong book. You know, in our church, we use the King James Bible. Now, why do we do that? Because we believe it is the final authority for those that are the English-speaking people to obey. We believe it's inspired. We believe it's preserved. We believe that is the book for us today. All right? There's people out there that they use the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, the Living Bible. By the way, there's, I believe, over 200 different versions that are out there on the market today. You take them down. They can't all be right. Think about this. They can't all be right. You take a version off of the shelf, and it reads this. Another one reads this. Another one reads this. That's how come a lot of churches, they use the screens. If you see in some of these churches that use multiple versions of the Bible, they will use screens. Because after all, they have to do that. Now, why do they have to do that? Because they're pulling from 15 different Bibles. Can you imagine going to church and saying, boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to go to church today. Man, I'm just so excited. I'm prepared for church, and I'm ready for church, and I've got all my Bibles, and I can't wait to go to church. And boy, I got my Bibles, and you take all your Bibles, and I'm in church. Can't wait for preaching. I got my ASV, my RSV, my NIV, my MICKEYMOUSE. I've got my, I got it all. I'm ready. And preacher gets up and he says, okay, now in the Bible, in the living Bible, oh, yeah, got it. Time I find it, he says, in the NIV, oh, yeah, got NIV, got it. In the RSV, got to find the RSV. In the New King James, New King James, okay, I know. In the King James, I got it right here. And see, that's why they use the screens. Now, I'm going to show you something. Here's what it says in your Bible. The Bible says, I want to reason with you. The Bible says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you have a Bible like the NIV that removes total portions of the scripture because there was a person that said, this is not important, then we got a problem. When you have other versions of the Bible that just decide that because of the editors of those particular Bibles, they're going to take out this and they're going to, we got a problem. Now, we use a Bible that's been proven and has God's hand of blessing on it for over 400 years. This is what brought the great revivals across the land. So why change? By the way, the NIV, you have to have a 7th grade level in order to read it. The King James Bible, only a 4th grade level in which to read it. And so you ought to be extra happy if you have a Bible like that. Amen. All right. Sam Gipp. Dr. Sam Gipp. You ought to get online and look at it. He has a YouTube out that has 7 different sessions on it on why the King James Bible is the Word of God. If you have any doubt whatsoever, you get on that, man, you listen to that, boy, that will help you tremendously and profoundly good. Now, so I'm saying you've got to have something. That's what's wrong with our society. Everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes. You know, there's no standard of right. Used to be, all the churches preached the same. And it used to be fiery preaching. Well, the preachers would get up and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. You either get in or you get out. Hey, get hot, but do something for God. And boy, they'd rip and they'd preach. You know, now what's happening is there's just confusion. You come as you are and you leave as you came. But yet God wants to do a work in all of our lives. And it's the Word of God that changes lives. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How hard is that to understand? The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the whole conclusion. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to hear the whole conclusion of the matter that's found in the Bible. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, the Bible says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So you don't choose whether or not to go to church. God says it's the duty to do. So we don't choose whether or not to tithe. God says, hey, that's the duty to do. We don't choose whether or not to read the Bible. That's what God says is the duty to do. We don't choose whether to pray or not. God says that's what we're supposed to do as believers. Telling others about Christ, that's what God says we're supposed to do as believers, listening to the right music, living lives, abstain from that which is the appearance of evil, having a clean mouth, a clean mind, a clean heart, a clean life, you know, having that which is a following of Jesus Christ, which is our reasonable service. God said that's the normal things that we're supposed to do. That's the normal things. All right, so when pastor gets up and preaches, or he has an assistant pastor to get up and preach, or he has an outside speaker to get up and preach, don't forget they're going to give you the truth from the Bible. Because that's what we do in church. That's what church is about. Hey, this is not a mechanic class. This is a Bible class. This is not a class on social affairs. This is a Bible class. All right, now, inside of that, we learn all things. Because the things that we need to learn to enhance our spiritual life and to grow in Christ is found in the Bible. Hey, are you listening to me? In the Bible, you're going to find out how to get your prayers answered. Come on. You have not because you ask not. The Bible says that you're supposed to ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek, and you're supposed to search and search and search, and then you're going to find it, and then it's going to be open onto you, and then the answer is going to come, but it's in a perpetual state of being. So you continue to ask and ask. You continue to search. You continue to be able to knock. You continue to do those things. All right. And so when you come to church and you hear something over and over and over again, what's that for? That's for your good, so that you can be able to be encouraged to do those things. See, that's not bad, but that's good. All right? So some people will measure, and they will use the measuring yardstick, if you will, as to this is what I think. Others will say this is what others do. Others will say this is what authority requires. Others will say this is what the Bible commands, and then I'm done. Here it is. Some will say this is what pleases God most. This is what pleases God most. Where they get into the Bible and they find out what God says about the matter. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says how ye ought to walk to please God so that ye abound more and more. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, whatsoever ye ask, ye shall receive, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John chapter 8 and verse 29, the Bible says, and he sent me, with me. He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. Always those things. All right? So what we need to do, instead of being somebody, if you will, that goes around and saying, well, this is what I think. This is what I think. Instead of being somebody that goes around and says, I'm going to measure myself against somebody else. Instead of being somebody that goes around and says, well, I'm only going to do the bare requirements. Just the bare requirements to get by. Instead of being somebody that goes around and says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to find out just what the Bible commands. There needs to be some Bible believers tonight that says this. I'm not going to be somebody that goes around and just, this is what I think, or I'm comparing myself to someone else, or this is just the bare minimum what God requires through authority, or this is just what the Bible commands. They say, I'm going to go a step farther. What pleases God the most?
Amen.
What pleases him the most? Now, we know this. It's not going to be this here. So if we had the yardstick of this one tonight, what I would do is I'd just get rid of that yardstick because that's no good. Because you can't be somebody that says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live my life according to what I think. Because after all, I am the authority. I would not say that that would be true. Here's somebody here that says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just see how everything measures up. I'm going to compare myself to someone else. And by the way, when you find somebody else weaker than you are, you're always going to look better. But can I tell you, if you search long enough, you're going to find somebody else that's stronger than you are, then what are you going to do? Then you pull yourself up, and then you're going to find somebody stronger than you are. Eventually, you'll get discouraged. So I wouldn't do that with that. You know, here's a person that says, and this is good, and we're getting closer because they say, I'm going to try to obey those that are my authority. You know, God's given me a good mom. God's given me a good dad. God's given me a good Sunday school teacher. God's given me a good boss. God's given me somebody that's in authority over my life. Hey, we're getting closer. That is good, but that's not good enough. And here's a person says, well, I'm just going to obey the commands. But there's more to your Bible than just commands. There's principles, there's precepts, there's truth that's more than just the commands. So if you just go about and saying, well, I'm just going to obey the commands, you're not going to obey all the book. But if you do this, if you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to find out what is best. I mean, I want God's best. Curtis Hudson used to say, good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is your better and your better is your best. You know, decide that you want that very best. I love the story of Matthew Spence. I'll tell it, if I may, for just a moment, if you'll indulge me the time. But Matthew Spence, he was a great swimmer, just a tremendous swimmer. Matter of fact, when he was in the first and second grade, he came out on top. As he went through the elementary, he came out on top. As he went through junior high, he came out on top. As he graduated high school, on top. And he got the attention of those that were a part of the Olympic Committee. They contacted him, and he was going to represent the United States of America in swimming for the United States of America in the Olympics. One day, as the story is told, he was there in the Chicago University at the Chicago, at the University of Chicago, and all of a sudden he was sitting in the library there, and somebody ran into the library and they hollered and they said, it's sinking, the Lady Elgin is sinking, and everybody scurried outside of those big library doors at the University of Chicago, and they went down to the shoreline. It was a very frigid, cold afternoon. It had been snowing, it had been icing, and they saw the Lady Elgin sinking out there in the midst of the water. As they saw the Lady Elgin sinking, it had 323 passengers on it. And you have to understand, this man knew how to swim probably better than anybody that was on the campus. And so, without any hesitation whatsoever, as he saw that ship going down out there in the water, he took his shirt off, he rolled up his pant legs, he discarded his shoes and discarded his socks, and he dove in the icy, frigid waters of the Chicagoland area, and he swam as quickly as he could to rescue somebody from the Lady Elgin. According to the history and the documentation that was recorded, it said that when he came to the first person, that person was in their 40s, and they began to fight back. He took his right fist, and as hard as he could, he knocked that person out cold. He drug him into the shoreline, and he laid him there. And I tell you that that's all he did. He would have been a hero. Anybody that would save somebody else's life would be classified as a hero. But according to what I have read, 23 people were rescued by him. In other words, he went out swimming 22 other times in the icy, frigid water of the Chicagoland area in the dead of winter to try and rescue another person. One of those people was his own brother. Yet his own brother never came back and said thank you. Epson Young was a good preacher in those days, and he was visiting out in the Phoenix, Arizona area where Matthew Spence lived. And one day he was out door knocking, and as he was door knocking, he came across this young man's door, now an older man, and he knocked the door, and here comes Matthew Spence rolling up in the wheelchair. And as he opens the door, Epson Young steps in. Epson Young begins to witness to him and says about Jesus Christ, his need of receiving Christ. And Matthew gave a testimony of, yes, I understood when I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I bowed my heart, received Christ as Savior, settled that, no, I'm going to go to heaven. He said, but you know, I have dreams often. He said, as I see the Lady Elgin sinking into the icy, frigid waters of the Chicago land area, he said, and there was people drowning all around. And he said, it's just like that night that I was in the emergency ward. He said, and as the anesthesia was wearing off, he said, I would come out of that anesthesia. And he said, they said that I would shout over and over again, did I do my best? Did I do my best? Did I do my best? And he said, still this very night, he said, I have those horrible nightmares. And he said, I see people drowning all around me. And he said, I'll come out of that nightmare. And he said, I find myself shouting and I find myself sweating. And he said, I find myself shouting the same words I shouted that night many, many years ago. Did I do my best? Did I do my best? Epson Young, you know, is the one that wrote the words to this song as he returned to his office. He picked up a pen at his desk as a young pastor, and he wrote the words to this song, "I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of this great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best of me. The hours I have wasted are so many, the hours I spent for Christ so few. Because of my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I left them to die alone? I might have helped to wander to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown." I wonder tonight, could we say as believers in Christ, those that are born again, those that are saved, I wonder if we could honestly sit in our pews tonight and say, "I've done my best." I'm not going to pass a judgment by the things I think, and I'm not going to pass a judgment by if somebody else, I can measure up to them, and I'm not going to pass a judgment because I fulfilled just the requirement of what is expected, and I'm not even going to pass the judgment if I obey some of the Word of God, those things that are commanded. I wonder if we could say tonight, "Boy, I tell you, I'm prepared. I want to do my best. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to put my eyes on the Lord as we get ready to head into a conference, and I'm going to put my heart in the right place, and I want to give Jesus Christ my very best." By the way, can I tell you something? If you give him your very best, you don't care about what others think. You give him your very best, you don't care if you live up to what somebody else thinks and or what somebody else thinks you shouldn't do, because you're concerned about the Savior. If you give him your very best, can I tell you, it'll increase your people skills, because if you're trying to please him, you'll get along with a lot of other people more easily. But you've got to decide that you want to give him your very best. I want to ask you tonight, would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to say, "I want to give God everything I've got and put him first and give him my best"? Father, help us tonight, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.